Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For out of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now these verses are like a psalm. And by and large, a psalm is a praise to God in tribute for who he is and what he's done. This is what Paul has done. And we could just have a little conversation with Paul and say, Paul, what is it that moved you so deeply to write these great things? And I'm sure he would say to us, it's because of the truth in Romans 1 to 11, where he has been into it so deeply, explaining to the Roman Jews and the Gentiles in Rome how a person is right before God. How does that occur? The Jews thought it occurred by keeping the law, keeping the commandments. And he said, no one is justified by the law. Some of the Gentiles thought it was by being good or doing good works. And he says, that is not it. So he teaches us that salvation, righteousness, being right with God, is through faith in the death and resurrection of Christ, period. There's nothing else. There's no other way we can be right with God. Just by faith in trusting what he has done. Nothing coming out of us, but exercising the faith that he has given us. So now he comes with this tribute. We have worked our way through the first three verses there, and now today we come to verse 36, as he gives a summary here, where he says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory. Amen. Now let's try to catch the gist of this truth of what is being said here. Now, it's interesting to note that there are four prepositions, just little words, little Greek words, hati, ek, eis, and so on, just very short words, prepositions, four different ones, but a preposition needs an object. Now, I don't want to turn this into a grammar class, but a prepositional phrase has a preposition and an object. And the object of these prepositions are the same. The prepositions are different, but the objects are the same, being God. So we could read it like this. For out of God and through God and to God are all things, to him be the glory, and so on. So we really need to understand the meaning of this. Of him are all things. Now, there are two prepositions here that mean because and out of. Really, a better translation is out of him are all things. What does all things cover? Everything you can think of covers everything. Out of him, from him. Now let me read just a couple of passages that support this truth that are in other passages of Scripture. First of all, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 12. For as the woman was from the man, even so the man also is through the woman. but all things are from God. So there's another expression. All things are from God. 1 Corinthians 8:6. There is only one God the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him. One Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him we live. Now we could go on and on with supporting texts where this same phraseology is used, that out of God are all things. What kind of things? Good things? Bad things? Joys? Sorrows? Tragedies? Catastrophes, evil, and sorrows. So we need to understand this. This is a hard thing to think about. And I just want to read something to you from the writing of a. If you'll pass those around, please, we'll read from that. This is from a book from a man named Anthony Hoeksema, who was a professor at Calvin College and a pastor of a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he's coming from the same theological perspective, and he's commenting on this verse. Let me just read through it as we consider that out of God come all things. As we begin, let us beware that we do not limit this expression. All things are out of him. The things in heaven, the things on earth, the things that were made in the beginning, and the things that develop and become in the history of the world. The work of redemption and all that pertains to that work, all things, nothing excluded, are of God. The earth in its fullness, the heavens in their glory, the day that utters speech, the night that pours forth knowledge. All that ever becomes of them in their progress through the history of this present time, from the Alpha even to the Omega, it is all out of him. All things in their relations to one another, inorganic creatures, living creatures, brute creatures, and rational creatures, the Gentile, the incarnation, the cross, and the resurrection, the promise and the gospel, the calling and faith, the inheritance and eternal glory. Yea, grace, but also sin. Michael and Gabriel, but also Satan. Life, but also death. Heaven, but hell, too. Each in its proper, in his proper place, in time and space, each serving his proper purpose and accomplishing the work assigned to him, all things are out of God. Now you probably hesitate to follow me in this exposition of all things, or perhaps you object strenuously to the statement that even sin and Satan and death and hell are included in things that are out of God. On the basis of this statement, you would probably conclude that we make God the author of sin. I am well aware that in our humanistic age, when many rather listen to a sentimental love story than to the truth of the whole gospel of God, this will seem a hard doctrine. But my answer to them that object to this basic truth of the Word of God is, first of all, that their own view of the matter, their own doctrine concerning sin and death and the devil, is infinitely more cruel. For to them they are accidents, evil powers which somehow were and are beyond the control of God, which are caused by the creature. Evil powers which God will finally overcome, but not until they have wrought havoc with his creation. That is a hard doctrine indeed. But to turn with all things good and evil to a sovereign God who has infinite wisdom and knowledge, has determined upon all things and become and shall be, that is a truth so perfect in comfort and hope that I would never exchange it for the shallow, sentimental love song of the modern gospel of men. Never do our hearts find rest until they find rest in God. And only through the assurance that all things are of God can they find rest in Him indeed. Secondly, I appeal to the text. It says, all things are of Him, through Him, and unto Him. Surely we may at least turn to the context of this statement to determine its application. In chapters 9 through 11, the apostle had written of God's sovereign predestinating purpose of the seed of the promise and the carnal seed of election and reprobation, of showing mercy and hardening, of vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction, of the fall of the Jews who stumbled at the stone and the reconciliation of the world, of salvation for the Gentiles and salvation for the Jews that fell, of God's concluding them all in unbelief that He might have mercy on them all. All these things are surely of Him, it must be admitted. But how can all things be of Him if not all the rest is also out of Him? Just try to exclude one thing from God's sovereign dominion, and the inevitable end will be that you leave nothing in His almighty hands. Beside, how could anything be unto Him if it were not of Him? Finally, as to the objection that we make God the author of sin and evil, an evil source, if we conclude sin and the devil, death and hell, and the things that are of Him, let us not forget that things do not emanate from God, but are freely determined by Him in His sovereign counsel. All things do not issue forth from God as water from a fountain. They do not radiate from Him as the light radiates from the sun, but they are sovereignly determined by His eternal will and counsel. There is no sin and evil in God. He is a light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. But in order that He might make known His power and glory, He has certainly determined upon the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction as the sovereign potter. And in order that He might lead all things to the greatest possible glory in Christ, He has holily willed that even Satan and sin should do their work. And therefore, we must insist that all things in this comprehensive sense are the Word, since the Word are of Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I say amen heartily. Wonderful way to put it. It requires some study. Take it home, read it through carefully, and consider that what is being said here is simply scripturally true. That if you look at it this way, that there is an umbrella of God's sovereignty over everything. Nothing can be outside it or above it, or He is no longer God. All things must be out of Him, through Him, and to Him, or He is not God. He is not in control. So this is a very, very important statement, that all things are out of Him. Now, of course, this raises some questions that no human will have all the answers until we get to heaven. But I have been helped and blessed by a statement in the Scofield Bible at the end of Job. C.I. Scofield was a, quote, dispensational scholar, an Arminian with whom we disagree heartily, but he had this to say as a footnote at the end of Job. Finally, when all has been said that can be said in relief of the intellectual problems involved, it must be confessed that beyond the revealed purposes of God, there still remains much of mystery, and for this there is no answer except the attitude of worship in which we humbly acknowledge that a sovereign God cannot be required by men to give all the reasons for what he chooses to do. So if you have a problem, just bow and worship and thank God that he's God. And don't argue with him and don't try to change him. All things are out of God. And that's a glorious thing. Now he uses another preposition here to say that all things are through him. Or by him. All things being through him means that there is an end result that God has planned, and there are means whereby he brings about that result. The means are as fully predestined as the result. So all things are through him, the process of it all. He ordains what will happen, but he controls the process. Now remember that predestination is God's planning, ordaining the end result. Providence is that process by which he brings it about. And it includes everything about our salvation. For instance, here's Paul going down to the city of Philippi to meet a lady named Lydia, whom he didn't even know. But God gets Lydia, a businesswoman, to a prayer meeting down by the river in the city of Philippi. Paul and his associates arrive in Philippi at the same time as Lydia, and Paul has opportunity to preach the gospel of grace. And the Bible says, and God opened her heart to believe in the grace of God, and she was saved. Now you think about that whole thing. Was that luck? Was that an accident that Paul and Lydia arrived there at the same time? And the city is a large city, and to be at that one spot at the same time. God had to coordinate and orchestrate every event in Paul's life to bring him to that moment. He had to orchestrate everything in Lydia's life to get her there at that moment. And God orchestrates everything in your life, in my life, and there is no chance. There is no accident. And I hope all of you have thrown out the word luck. There ain't no such thing, except in golf. There's one kind of luck in golf, and that's bad. Here is the executive in control, but he uses people, and he uses circumstances, and it is through him that we have the cross and the resurrection. So all things are out of God, and all things are through him, and he accomplishes his will. And he is so gracious that he chooses to use us and take us into partnership with himself with what he wants to do all around the world, in our families, and with each other. Now, Paul's final statement here is that to him are all things. That is, they're for him, for his purpose. Everything that God has done historically, from Adam and Eve to Noah to Abraham to David to the New Testament to the Reformation to this present day, your salvation and my salvation is for God. Not ultimately for us, it's for him. Now we get in on it by his providence, that's a wonderful thing, but it's for God. Everything serves his purpose, and he is so great that he can cause evil to serve him. Remember when Joseph's brothers came to him in Egypt? They had sold him into slavery. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Be patient in circumstances, because God will use them for His glory and for our good. Now, a college professor met a student on the campus one morning. He says to the student, "How are you?" And the student said, "Pretty well under the circumstances." And the prof said, "What are you doing under there?" "Well, Jesus walked on the water." Great miracle. You and I walk above our circumstances. Great miracle. Because of His sovereign power in our life. All things point to Him now and forever. So thank you, Paul, for delivering to us this great truth. Simple little prepositions. Just one object of the prepositions. Out of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. You'll never think about anything more profound or deeper than that truth. Then he finalizes with this tribute, "To Him be the glory." Now that's the opposite of humanistic life. In humanism, everything is for the glory of men. In Christianity, everything is for the glory of God, to the praise of God. Give Him praise. A man gave me a book last week, in fact, Ray got one, about praising God. And it's a good reminder to do that often. It's a priority to give Him the honor and the respect and to trust Him fully and completely. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the knowledge and wisdom of God. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? For out of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. And to Him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, you can't be exposed to a passage of Scripture like this and not have some response. There has to be some response, either a question we don't understand, or we say, "Yay. Yay, Paul. I'm with you. I join with you about what you have written here. I believe it. This is your testimony, but I want it to be mine. I want God to have the glory, to Him the praise, the honor, the respect, and the trust." What can we give to God this morning? Not money. He doesn't need it. Not our great intellect. He doesn't need that. Not any works. We give one thing to Him. That is to trust Him. He is honored by one thing, our trust. The irony of that is He has to give it to us first. And then we get to exercise that and honor Him. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this great passage of Scripture and how it reminds us of Your greatness and Your sovereign control of this whole universe. And Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, right now, boil it down to our lives, what we are experiencing at this moment, this day. And thank You that this has come out of You. It is through You, and it is for You and for Your glory. Therefore, we bow in trust to accept what is taking place, to accept Your providence, and we want to give You the glory. May it be so through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.